This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade finished mixed yet again on Thursday. Corn and wheat were higher, soybeans were lower. Corn for September was up 3/4 to 363 and a quarter. December corn was up 3/4 as well to 371, and March corn was up 1/2 to 383. On to soybeans, September contract was down 4.5 to 856. November beans were down 4.25 to 868 3/4, and January beans were down 4.25 as well to 882.5. Chicago wheat for September was up 4.75 to 467 1/4. December wheat was up 3.75 to 471 3/4. March wheat was up 3.25 to 477 3/4. Soybean meal for September was down a dollar to 293.70. October bean meal was down 90 cents to 295.70. And December bean meal was down a dollar to 299.30. Finally, soybean oil on the September contract lost 20 cents to 28.54. October bean oil lost 22 cents to 28.65. And the December contract was down 22 cents Thursday to 28.90. So to recap your grain futures from Thursday, corn was 0.5 cent to 0.75 cents higher. Soybeans were 4.25 to 4.5 cents higher. Wheat was 3.25 to 4.75 cents higher. Soybean meal was 90 cents to a dollar lower, and soybean oil was 20 to 22 cents lower. Now we'll move on to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for your cash grain report from Thursday.
This is Thursday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Thursday afternoon in northern and western Illinois country. Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny higher at 323 to 363. Soybean bids were down 4 cents at 798 to 823. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 348 to 373. Soybean bids were down 4 to 5 cents at 813 to 839. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids are mostly steady at 329 to 390. Soybean bids were steady to down 4 cents at 815 to 849, and wheat bids were up 4 to 5 cents at 427 to 467. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 12 cents lower at 836 to 874. Basis is unchanged to down 8 at 3300 at 5 over the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 281.70 to 298.70 a ton. Down a dollar a ton, with basis steady at 1200 to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up a penny at 373 to 391, with basis unchanged to 10 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 1 to 5 cents higher at 332 to 373, with basis steady to up 4 at 3100 to 10 over the September. Soybeans ended down 4 to 6 cents at 836 to 843. Well, basis unchanged to down 2 at 3300 to 26 under the November. Wheat prices were up 5 cents at 417 to 427. Well, basis steady at 50 under to 40 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading place their producer corn bids mixed at 356 to 358. Their soybean prices are mostly 6 cents lower with quotations at 868 to 869. Soft wheat closed up 4 cents at 468 to 469. Milo ended the day steady at 407 to 408. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 320 to 361. Soybeans at 804 to 839. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 343 to 366. Soybeans at 810 to 853. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 311 to 381, soybeans at 804 to 839. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thursday's livestock futures were more of the same, with live cattle and feeder cattle higher, lean hogs lower. October live cattle were $2.30 higher to $104.97. October live cattle were 87 cents higher to $101.10. And December live cattle were 80 cents higher to 106.10. Feeder cattle for August were $1.02 higher to 138.40. September feeders were $1.12 higher to 136.42. October feeders were 92 cents higher to 135.47. Finally, October lean hogs were a dollar lower to 62.30. December lean hogs were a dollar 12 lower to 61.55. And February hogs were a dollar 25 lower to 68.57. So to recap, live cattle were 80 cents to $2.30 higher. Feeder cattle were 92 cents to $1.12 higher. Lean hogs were a dollar to $1.25 lower. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.39 lower. In a range of 57 to 71.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 66.15. The Illinois Direct Sow Port slaughter sow price were weak with moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 28 to 33, 4 to 5 weighted 30 to 35, 5 to 6 weighted 33 to 40, and over 600 pounds $35 to $43. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts country buying points were a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $40 to $48. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $19,200. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at 108 to 110, and on a dress base at 170 to 178. Choice heifers and live bases trade at 105 to 110, and on a dress base at 170 to 178. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 399 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $79.94, which is $1.30 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass are trading mixed. Choice carcass are $239.28, which is $2.46 lower, while select carcass are $215.91, which is 21 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 115,000 compared to 116,000 last week, 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 482,000 compared to 483,000 last week and 468,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in Ag News to wrap up this week on a Friday morning, on Wednesday, the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwestern Crop Tour went out in the cold and rain to scour the western third of Iowa in crop districts 1, 4, and 7. Jeff Wilson is the western tour lead, and he talked about some of the concerns coming into Iowa, especially after some of the trials faced earlier this spring and how that affected some crops.
We saw some pretty good crops. We saw a few problems here and there. You could definitely tell where there were some PP issues, prevent plant areas, down in the southwestern area of the state. And there's some late crops up in the northern northwest part of the of Iowa. So in terms of the overall crops, I think they're pretty good. There were no big surprises, I think, is the storyline out of western Iowa.
He tells us about some of the surprises they saw in the corn yields and some of the concerns.
So we measure today in District 1, which is the northwest corner, 184.9 bushels per acre. That's down 1.1% from last year's number, and just slightly ahead of the three-year average at 184.1. In District 4, we actually counted 3.2% more bushels per acre than we did a year ago at 192.7 bushels, and that's also up from the three-year average. And in District 7, the far southwestern area, it was actually up 3.6% at 186.3%, which is above the three-year average.
Soybeans were also a mixed bag with some gains and losses in total pod count.
Looking at the soybeans, they were also kind of a mixed affair in terms of comparisons with a year ago. In District 1, we were up 1.3% at 1,096 pods, down 5.1% in District 4 at 1,196 pods, and in District 7, we were down 3.6% at 1,221 pods.
Wilson says it's going to take sun, time, and a late frost to really bring this crop home. Moving on to the Illinois results from the eastern leg of the tour, Pro Farmer editor Brian Greet recaps those numbers.
In the state of Illinois, we came in with a yield of 171.2. That was down 11.1% from last year on crop tour. USDA's August 1 estimate was 181, and that was down 13.8%. So our percentage decline wasn't quite as much as what USDA's was. I think Illinois's got some pockets of good corn. They got some pockets of bad corn, and then they got a lot that's in between there. So a lot of variability in the state. Maturity levels are all over the scale, too, there in Illinois. So, it's a hard one to peg at the moment because of the amount of variability and maturity levels.
And as you heard in the previous report, partial numbers from western Iowa rolled in, with three out of those nine crop districts reporting bushels per acre at 184, 192, and 186. The crop tour had the final Iowa results last night as they wrapped up the crop tour in Rochester, Minnesota.
Iowa's had a pretty good year, generally speaking. So can Iowa pull up enough to offset some of the poor stuff in the eastern Corn Belt? And we saw crops that gradually got more mature as we came from Ohio into Indiana and Indiana into Illinois. And now we're going to see even more mature crops as we get into Iowa and some of those areas in Minnesota. But there are also areas and pockets within those states that have some less mature crops. It is what it is. It's going out in the fields, grabbing the data and seeing what the numbers produce at the end of the night.
One of the questions that was posed by the crowd at Wednesday night's meeting in Iowa City was, is this the end of the weather's rally in the market?
I think if we get anywhere close to 170 bushels per acre, 169.5 that USDA estimated on August, the market's going to be very skeptical about wanting to put weather premium into the market in the spring. Summer weather rallies, I think, are different. They can still develop, but any kind of a weather rally in the spring moving forward, if we get anywhere close to 169.5, 70 bushels, I think it is probably going to be a hard thing to achieve just based on the conditions that we've faced this year, that we've thrown at the crop this year.
And don't forget, full results from the crop tour are online at profarmer.com. And you can check out the latest on social media using the hashtag PFTour19. And in other news from the crop tour, noticeably absent from Wednesday evening's meeting of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour in Iowa City was Lance Honig, the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service Crops Branch Chief. Individuals from USDA NAS that were on the tour were called off after a threat was reportedly made to one of their scouts. Pro Farmer's Brian Greet joins us again with comments.
Lance was intending to come out to some of these meetings because of some unforeseen circumstances. He was not able to attend, and so we brought him via video interviews and stuff like that to the crowds. The situation was just unfortunate on the reasoning there, and something that you never hope to have happen.
ProFarmer.com reported a USDA NAS employee did receive a phone threat while on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour from someone that was not involved with the tour. As a precaution, the USDA immediately pulled all of their staff out of the event. Federal Protective Services are investigating the incident further. Moving on into other news from the USDA, farmers are seeing payments from the first round of the latest trade aid in the mailbox. Farm Service Agency Director Richard Fordyce says the first payments are being mailed out now, and farmers are reporting receiving the checks. Round one of the three potential payments is 50% of the overall amount farmers may receive. The USDA expects up to $14.5 billion of payments will be sent to farmers, pending on the trade negotiation process. Another 25% of the total will then go out later this fall, if the Department of Agriculture deems the payments necessary. The final round, the last 25%, if needed, is planned for sometime around January. The payments are meant to offset the losses stemmed from the Trump trade agenda and the Chinese trade war. Payments range from $15 to $150 per acre, depending on location. Payments are also available for dairy and hog producers under certain reporting parameters. This is the second time the Trump administration has used the market facilitation program since the trade war with China began. Also, in other national ag news, farmers should support an EPA report that backs glyphosate for agriculture. Michael Clemens has more on this report from Washington.
A routine draft assessment of glyphosate by the Environmental Protection Agency says it's a beneficial tool for farmers and promotes conservation-based practices. Allison Crittenden is an American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director. She says the draft review by the EPA should keep glyphosate in the farmer's toolbox.
This is part of the typical registration review process that EPA does for all of the labels that it has. In this proposed interim registration review decision, EPA maintains that glyphosate is safe to use and should be available to farmers.
However, the decision is not final, as EPA is accepting comments on the draft review. Crittenden says it's critical farmers support the EPA assessment by submitting comments by September 3rd.
We certainly expect and have already seen that a lot of the anti-groups are weighing in with their thoughts, so it's important that farmers demonstrate glyphosate's important to the ag industry. It allows farmers to actually use conservation practices, so it's just important that those farmers weigh in with their thoughts as well.
Comments can easily be submitted through fb.org/advocacy. Crittenden says farmers should highlight the environmental benefits of glyphosate.
It's important for farmers to reiterate in their comments that although glyphosate is an herbicide, that it actually has environmental benefits. Because of its use on herbicide-tolerant crops, farmers have actually been able to improve soil health and continue to be good stewards of the land.
Michael Clements, Washington.
Moving on now to state ag news. The Super Bowl of Agriculture is less than a week away in Decatur, and Wednesday media members got a preview of everything to come in the show that will draw people from all over the country and the world. National Events Manager for Farm Progress, Matt Jungman, calls this year the Year of the Tractor. He says there are a lot of new things coming that will get people excited.
It's the Year of the Tractor for some reason, you know, with the Case IH AFS Connect tractor, the new Class 8 from Versatile, the new Class 8 from Kubota, new members of the Fendt family for tractors, Kloss turning everything green, including the Lexion combines, adding to the tractor lineup at the Kloss exhibit. Just lots and lots of new things coming down the line. Really, really excited about that. Really excited we're going to be able to run field demonstrations. That's been a question mark all year long, and so, you know, we've got 77-day corn that's going to be able to make a demonstration out of it. We may not get to run everything we wanted to run in terms of covering ground, but still going to be able to give everybody a chance to run a little bit and get their time in front of the crowd.
Jungman recommends downloading the 2019 version of the Farm Progress Show app. He says it will have an updated map along with a schedule of events. Plus, if weather pops up and the show site gets shut down, the app will keep you updated.
We do all we can to make sure we've all done training at the National Weather Service in Norman, Oklahoma, and we've got new tools in our pocket to be able to get the word out to people. We're really excited about our capabilities in terms of if folks will text FPS 19 to 20505, we will be able to send messages directly to them. Mobile app and the website, obviously, it's such a big show that it's good to kind of make your plan and get yourself prepared so you're not having to backtrack across this big place. You know, in terms of being able to find your way around, it's been a really good app for us. We've used it for several years now, and even if you had the 17 one, you have to reinstall the 2019 one so you're not wandering around on an old map.
There has been a change if you're coming into the show as well. State Highway 48 now connects to Brush College Road at a different location, so Jungman recommends just getting near Decatur and following the signs and traffic. And as local farmers look forward to the harvest season, we could have a pretty wet crop to harvest. So what does the propane supply look as we head into the grain drying season? That topic was a conversation among farmers at the Illinois State Fair last week.
Well, there was a lot of questions about propane supply. We talked a little bit about where we think this corn drying is going to be this fall, how far along the crop is right now, and when we're going to get it all out of the fields and things like that. Of course, there was a big question from about everybody I talked to. Hey, Are we going to have enough propane? Are we going to have enough propane? So my general response to that is, you know, you look at inventories, just to touch on them a little bit. You know, we've been tracking them all summer. Still going to probably end up around that 90 to 95 range on propane inventories in the U.S. So to me, that's a fairly comfortable number. Probably still well over the five-year average. You know, it just gets back to the simple point. You look back at a 13, 14, or maybe even a 9, 10, that big grain drying year. You know, we got to get the propane to where it needs to be in the Midwest or wherever it needs to be at the time. So I think there's going to be plenty of propane. It's just getting it where it needs to be logistically.
And that was Dan Panier with GrowMark, and he's the manager of propane operations. And also, as we look forward into the upcoming hunting season, the State Department of Natural Resources is promoting hunter safety. The agency's Tim Schweitzer says information is always readily available online at dnr.illinois.gov.
Hunter safety education is also offered. Hunter safety education is required for most people these days. Those of us who are a little older might have escaped doing that, but taking a refresher course on hunter safety education is not a bad idea. And a lot of those courses are held during the summer prior to the busy fall hunting seasons. So again, check the Illinois Department of Natural Resources website. Just click on safety education and get some details on where those courses might be offered. And if you're interested, or if you're in need of having that safety education certificate in hand to get your hunting license, make sure you get that done before it really gets busy. Of course, dove season opens on September 1. We also have an early Canada goose season that opens in the state on September 1st. So hunting season is here, or will be shortly.
Also, the archery deer hunting season starts in just over a month on October 1st. And the first two firearm weekends are set for November 22nd through 24th and December 5th through the 8th. In other news involving the Department of Natural Resources, the IDNR, in coordination with the Illinois Fire Service Institute and the Army Corps of Engineers, will be hosting area fire departments for controlled burning training exercises this weekend, August 24th and 25th, at the Eagle Creek Resort Complex at Eagle Creek State Recreation Area on Lake Shelbyville. For public safety, the area near the resort complex, including the adjacent lakeshore, will be closed to the public during the training exercises, and no spectators will be allowed. Other facilities at Eagle Creek, including the campground, boat ramp, picnic, and day-use areas and trails, will remain open. The training schedule may also be adjusted based on weather. The fire department training exercise and follow-up debris removal will be facilitating the IDNR's plans to redevelop the resort site. In local news now, the Montgomery County Extension Office has many events coming up in the coming weeks. Next Thursday and Friday, August 29th and 30th, will be a certified food manager's course and exam. That will be held each day from 9 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon and will be held at the Extension Office. If you have any questions or need more information, you can call the office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Also, the Montgomery County Extension will be conducting the yearly yield survey of the area corn crop on Thursday, September 5th. That will start Thursday morning at 8 a.m. at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. Volunteers will be breaking up into groups and surveying the crops across the county to estimate yield and will meet back at the Extension Office by noon to share results and enjoy lunch. The Extension will sample fields in each of the 19 townships of Montgomery County and will publish the results after they are compiled. Anyone with interest in participating or sponsoring the event is asked to contact the Montgomery County Extension Office again at their phone number, 532-3941. Also, last but not least, the 2019 program booklets for the Montgomery County Farmers Institute and Household Science section are now available. These booklets have been distributed to local Montgomery County businesses, and they are also available at the U of I Extension Office, where the program will be held. Entries for the Farmers Institute will begin being accepted on Friday night, September 6th, from 4 to 6 in the evening, and again Saturday morning, September 7th, from 8 to 10. After the entries are in place, they will be judged and then may be viewed by the public at no charge. A variety of food items and drinks will also be available, and the money from that will benefit the Montgomery County Farmers Institute. Everyone that's a resident within the county is eligible to have entries in the classes, such as ag science, fruits and vegetables, flowers and plants, canned goods and miscellaneous, fancy work and sewing, as well as culinary. Youth are also invited to make entries in such classes as woodworking, photography, science projects, sewing, horticulture, cooking, nature displays, art projects, as well as small engines. Please refer to the 2019 County Farmers Institute booklet for rules and more detailed information on the classes listed. If you'd like more information, you can contact the Extension Office in Hillsboro again at 532-3941 or contact Kevin Lighthizer at 217-532-2126. And you can also visit the website web.extension.illinois.edu/cjmm. Also, last but not least, later this morning in about a half an hour will be the first annual Breakfast on the Farm event hosted by Nodal Limited Farms at their farm location in Witt. This event will also be in conjunction with the Hillsboro Chamber of Commerce and many other sponsors of the local area. There will be a free catered breakfast prepared by Milanus Catering, and you can also have the chance to climb in the cab and get behind the wheel of a tractor, know your labels of your food. You can have a hands-on tech demonstration ranging from drones to solar use, as well as a commodity trading simulation game and a Jeopardy-style format game of agriculture with the Nokomis FFA chapter. Again, that event starts this morning at 7:30 at Nodal Limited Farms, 106th East Oak Street, in Witt. And that just about wraps it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, as always, if you have ag news that you'd like to have aired here on WSMI, you can email that to us. WSMI@WSMIradio.com is the address. So for this Friday morning, August 23rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.